Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Sunday service. It's the beginning of 2016. I hope you guys have found your feet and the things you're doing at work and things you're trusting God for. Hoping you're trusting God for amazingly great things. I must just put my phone on silent before it does funny things. Okay, so this morning is Activation Sunday. So what we're doing today is we just come kind of just as a church reflecting on who we are, a Shofar church, why we are doing what we're doing, what we're trusting God for in the beginning of this year. And we also just want to introduce all the ministries and church just to all of us. It's good for us to be all on the same page. All of us know what the other people are doing in church. All of us know why we're doing things. And as I shared last week, this year, I feel God is calling us to really have a heart for the lost, to really have a heart for those who are not amongst us, and really to be fruitful. Because if you think in terms of scriptural fruitfulness, it's really about Jesus said to his disciples before he goes, he says, go and make disciples. And he says to Peter, go and feed my sheep. So if we think in terms of our calling, what are we called to do? I think those two scriptures kind of sums it up. Often we think our calling is something very spiritual. And yes, God, sometimes God calls us to something specific. But initially, he calls us all to become fruitful and to go and make disciples and to go and feed the sheep. So if you're doing that, you're already operating in your calling. It might have a specific road. It might find its fulfillment in doing something like being a teacher or being in a building industry, and whatever you do. But you're doing that because you want to make disciples and because you want to see God glorified. So this morning, I just want us to align ourselves with that vision. Also, we're part of a bigger church, Shofar Christian Church. So we are one of like 50-plus churches in Southern Africa. And we all fall under a structure of apostolic leadership. We're from Pastor Fred May. Those who saw him last year, he came in October, he came preach here. He's the head of our church, and then there's apostolic team under him, and then there's regions. We're part of the North region, amongst Pretoria, Johannesburg, Standerton, Secunda, Bloemfontein, Pietermaritzburg, which we planted last year, or is our busy planting. All of us are in the same region, so our church has got kind of a structure. And we'll get to that a bit later, why structure is important. But it's actually very important to God. If you see how God does things, he's a God of order. He's a bit of an engineer God in how he does things. And if you're a doctor or you're a scientist or engineer, you'll see in everything that God has created is there's building blocks, why he does things. There's a lot of order in the gospel and in the word. And we must also follow that pattern. And scripture has actually got for us a very good pattern on how God built his church. He's building his church. We just make disciples, but we need to align ourselves with what he's doing. Okay, so before we start, I just want to share to those who are new, that's my wife. She was here in front with our little one, Brandon, Rebecca, and Christopher. My wife's name is Janet. So we are the pastors here. I think most of you know us already. You're welcome to any time. Pop into our house. Come for a coffee. Come and connect. Come and say hi. We are here for you guys. We are here to help you in anything you need help with. And if you don't know the answers, we probably know the people that can help you. We probably know somebody that can advise you to. Like if you come to me with needs, healing needs, I might point you to Albert, or if you come to me with economic needs, I might point you to Dunks. Or if you want me to help you with building issues, I'll tell you about Skulk. So that's why we are a church. The needs are met within the body, within one another. And that's what makes us as a family so exciting. God has called us together to do the work of ministry. He called us all to be ministers of the gospel. He called us all into fivefold ministry. Ephesians 4 says that God has called the fivefold ministry to equip all for the work of ministry. So we're all in a sense, in full-time ministry. What you're doing at church is you're really just getting equipped, or you are doing ministry. You should, in a sense, come to church on a Sunday to do ministry, to minister God's word to one another. And some of us will, other people also preach from time to time. And today we're going to share a bit about the ministries in church. So I quickly want to run us through the vision statement. It's important for us all to be in alignment and to know what a church vision statement is. That kind of underpins why we do things. And this vision statement really comes out of those scriptures I quoted where Jesus says, go make disciples, go and shepherd the nations, and make disciples one another. It says to reach nations and generations through disciple-making, leadership development, and church planting. So, and the core values from before that vision statement is passion for Jesus, people to serve, power of belief, and purpose to pursue. So, in a sense, everything we do has to align with that vision. Once we start doing things that don't align with that, the reason why you have a vision is because we are humans and we're easily sidetracked into good ideas or good things. So we always just check, is this thing we're doing, does it align? Is it actually helping our vision, or is it subtracting from our vision? Is it actually causing us to be distracted? And so we just need to always ask ourselves, is this thing that I'm doing, is it helping? Is it fulfilling the vision that Christ has given us? Is it aiding in people getting saved, making it easier for people to get saved, to get discipled? Is it reaching out to people, or is it just being busy with, in a sense, work that's not fruitful? So we need to make sure that what we do is fruitful. So this is a vision that governs everything we do. And then as a shofar global body, every year we ask God kind of for specific scripture or a vision for the year. And normally the HQ team in Stellenbosch will ask for that for the global shofar. Skulk was at Worcester last year, and they would have done the same things in Worcester that we do here, because we all follow the same vision. So for this year, the vision that God has given to the leadership and to Pastor Fred is Psalm 147, verse 2 to 3. And it says, the Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and bind up their wounds. So that is kind of, and obviously this vision is subordinate to our vision of making disciples. So that's kind of just where God wants us to put our faith. So that's like a building block in a greater vision. So it aligns itself with the greater vision of making disciples. But it speaks of building his church and building his church with those that are broken, those who are not here in a sense, the outcasts coming back and trusting for them to get healed. So that's so cool, because what we've been speaking about lately aligns a bit of that, of the prodigal son coming home. And scripture that I felt is a bit, you know, I shared it last week as an example. Luke 15 verse 17, I felt this more for us locally, but it aligns with that scripture. It's in the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't stayed away. And so last week we were just speaking a bit about where's our wealth. What is our riches? What are the things that we rejoice in? What are the sacrifices we're about to make? And I was at Polani's small group on Wednesday, and two things that I didn't say last week, but I realized it speaks in the middle of that sermon. It speaks of the son that came to his senses, because he realized who the father was. But that kind of takes into account the premise that the son already knew the father. So it speaks of the average Jewish home where people already have a knowledge of God. But something that I felt just to add this morning is some sons have never heard of the goodness of the father. Some sons have never come to know who the father's what the father's character is. So how can they come to their senses? Now that speaks of telling of the father. Wherever we are at work, wherever we are in society, wherever we see the lost, will they be precious to us? Will they be those sons that we want to buy back? And instead of judging them, will we tell them of the Father's character so that they can come to their senses? And a lot of our ministries are actually aimed at that. That's why we do church on Sunday, for example. We want God's lost sons to come here and get a revelation of the Father's heart, either in worship or in just meeting one of us, just having a talk with one of us, social talk. Often they say 80% of somebody's recollection of an event happens in the last moment before they leave. So often the recollection somebody will have will not be what I say from the pulpit or any of those things. It will be the last person they met before they leave the building. So all of us are very important in that painting that picture of the Father that really loves them and cares them, cares for his servants and cares for those who love him. So it really brings us all into the picture. All of us are responsible to change our hearts. And the second thing that God showed me on Wednesday was the older son was very freaked out when the younger son came in. Because in a sense, the younger son shared in the inheritance that was apportioned to him. Because the younger son squandered everything. And when he came back, he was made a co-heir again. So in a sense, he messed up big time. And now I have to share the older son, if I'm the older son. Now I suddenly have to share what I have with the son that messed everything up. So just think of the implications of that. That speaks of sacrifice and loving that son that has to come back. When that son comes back, it's going to cost us something. It's going to cost us something, sometimes all of our inheritance. So what it says is, the father says, there are true riches, is the son coming back? Or is it in the stuff that we can have? And to make it even more simple, is it even in, sometimes when we look at the Jesus, what freaked him out was the religious folk in the New Testament. And what freaked him out is they had everything, but they didn't have a love for the lost. And in a sense, they pursued righteousness to such a degree that it excluded the others. So in a sense, do I come to church on a Sunday, just to make it practical, do I come to grow in the knowledge of God? Or is it more important for me to see those out there to be lost? It's just a slight shift. But in a sense, if I can grow in my knowledge of God, I can be superior. But if somebody else can get saved, I can become rich. So what do I want? Do I want to be rich or do I want to be superior? So this is something that's going through my mind. I don't know if that challenges you. But it's kind of some hard words for me. But I think if we can make that shift, then we can see the city saved. Okay, so those are the things God has on my heart for the year. Just to trust God for the lost out there. Trust God to make the sacrifices. And in a sense, trust God for those people to come back. So now we just want to present to you the ministries. This little video just from Pastor Fred that I want Cindy to play. So if you guys can just play this video. And what we're doing this morning is we're showcasing what we're doing as Shofar Durban and as Shofar Church. We're not doing all the ministries that Shofar does in some of the bigger churches. We're just doing some of it, the things that we have capacity to do. So some you won't see necessarily everything this morning that we do because we aren't there yet, but we're trusting to grow to do everything. So let's listen to Pastor Friend.
One of the big changes that has happened in church life in the last few decades is the restoration of something that Martin Luther had actually introduced to the church and has never quite hit home or become a reality in church. And I'm talking about the priesthood of all believers, about the fact that church does not comprise one man preaching at a lot of people who receive his wisdom and his ministry and then go home to continue with their lives. Church is meant to be a place where every believer sees themselves as that minister, as that person whom God would use. And obviously, from the New Testament, we understand that everybody has a different contribution to make. Everybody has another gift. So whoever stands in the pulpit and teaches or preaches or sings or prophesies, they would bring a specific gift. But that does not mean that the rest of us are recipients. What is in fact happening is that somebody is allowed to share what God has given him or her to share with the rest of us. And so we believe that everybody should have the opportunity to find where God would have them share and how God would have them share at any time in our lives. Because the greatest privilege that we have as believers is to share what God has given us. And You know, for me, the big revelation is not so much the fact that I have something to give or something to share. The big revelation is that God views me as the gift. I'm the gift and you the gift. And so when I come and I bring my gift, it's a double blessing that I give to people. I give myself and I give of myself. But the great joy is in discovering what that would mean for me. And so for that purpose, we have a Sunday called Activate Sunday, where we present to people what church is actually all about. Because church is more than just a meeting or meetings or gathering. Church happens every day, everywhere, where the people of God are the gifts that God has called us to be. And obviously, all of us, wherever we work or at home, we're always giving of ourselves because that's what believers do. But in an organized way, in terms of an established ministry, there's so much happening in our ranks. And it's so important that we see everything as integrated. God is a God of integration because God is the Shema of the Jews. The Shema means our God is one, the three in one. And God loves to see himself manifest in this integrated fashion. Everything ties together. Everything flows together. Everything moves together from one point to another distinct point. And so it is our honor and our privilege. It's really exciting for us to present to you some of what we do and some of what happens out there. Many of the initiatives in church come from the people themselves. People who come to us and say, God has really laid this on my heart, and this is what I believe is important for church. This is what we ought to be involved in. So over the years, a lot of initiatives have been born in that way. However, at this time, we'd like to think that we're doing as much as God wants us to do as a church here and now. We cannot take on 20 or 50 more because that'll fracture us. But we'd like for you to have knowledge and exposure to what is happening, what we're doing. And then we'd like for you to go home and pray about, God, where do you want me to get involved? What do you want me to do? And how can I make a contribution? Scripture says that whatever is not born of faith is sin. It doesn't quite cut it with God. And so God wants us to live from this place of very sincere and deep conviction. And we invite you to join us in this way so that 2016 for you will be a year of great reward, great excitement, and great discovery as you find out what God wants to do in you and through you to change the world around you. The Lord bless you.
Cool. I think it's a bit back to speaker. It's interfering. As Pastor Fred is saying, it must be of faith. So we're going to present some ministries to you. And I think all of us are already busy, actually, in most of the stuff. So in a sense, I don't want us to take on a lot of stuff this morning. But I just want us to know what is happening in church. What are people doing? And it must be of faith. So if you do only one thing and you do it with faith, it's worth more than doing 10 things. Just because you can. So that's this very important, as Pastor Fred is saying. It's important that we do things from a place of conviction and as faith. And this is also a place of family. I just like, as we came here this morning, everybody was just busy with something. And church really happens because of you guys. Church happens because everybody is just doing one part together. And that is faith, and that God blesses that union. Okay, so I quickly want us, I've asked some people in the congregation to come and share about things we do in church, ministries that people are involved in, and I'll add some things. So I've asked Bronwyn to come and quickly share about small groups. Small groups is really crucial for us. It's important for us. So I want Bronwyn to quickly share a testimony and something about it.
Okay, I took a couple of notes. Hi, everyone. Let me find them now. There we go. Okay, hi, I'm Bronwyn, and I've been involved in Shofar Peter Maritzburg last year, so I was in a home group there, which I absolutely loved. And as Pastor Fred mentioned, you know, it's a God that's three in one, and he's a God of unity and community. So I found that with my home group, as we call, some people call it cell or life group. But for me, it was really a home group where I could have like my brothers and sisters come alongside me, pray for me, and also allow me to pray for them. And I just found that there was that was almost the place where I grew the most, was in home group and having that unity and community. And as not every, you know, we're not an island. We actually are. God's intention for us is to be in community with one another. And it's also a place where we can be accountable for one another and challenge one another. And I think through that accountability and challenging times, that's when growth occurs. So I know that with me last year, I was praying for, I needed a job for this year, and I just knew that, you know, the first people that I could lean on was my family, my home group. So I would text them or see them, and they could just stand in agreement with me. And it's a place where I could really just share my heart and also just a safe place and a secure place where I could cry and also just allow others to also just share their hearts and be vulnerable. You know, I don't think necessarily church on a Sunday is a platform where that can happen, although I know it can, but home group is really where you become close to your brothers and sisters and yeah, just be accountable for one another. And then yeah, it's also a great place. I know some people are not always comfortable. Like if you were to invite a friend to church, sometimes that label of church can be a bit daunting for others. And I know we want to grow God's kingdom. So we also found in our home group it was easier to invite people to a home group, just a place where we have snacks and share. And it's not necessarily always deep and with tears and whatnot, but it's sometimes a safer place for someone to come and join and be a part of than coming to church. And then once they're comfortable, get to know you on a friendship and relational level, then they can look at coming to church. So I also found that was a great place for home group. And I think that this is a really good idea that we're doing this. And just on the sideline with I just saw like a rowboat. And, you know, sometimes we're all in the rowboat, but everyone's paddling in different directions. So one person's rowing like this and another person's rowing the other way. And so I think that this is great just for all of us to kind of know, okay, you know, we're all rowing at the same time and rowing together so we can really move forward as a church. So, yeah, I think that's it with home groups. And I really want to encourage you, if you're not involved in a home group, it's really just a place where I can call, where that word home just really sticks out to me. So I'd love for everyone to get involved in a home group and, yeah, just get to know your brothers and sisters there and let them be accountable for you. And, yeah, that's home group.
Awesome. That's great. Yeah. I've asked Koos to come and share a bit about Sunday services. He's going to share with us why we're doing this stuff.
Thank you, Manus. Yes, I thought I should bring them, but this is a bit more of the Durban vibe, this bare feet. And I'm from the plas, so if I don't wear fellies, I'm allowed to not wear shoes as well. This Samsung is amazing. Okay, so Manus asked me something to say about the church services. It's so cool that what Umfred said now and what Manus has already said this morning actually all is the same as what I'm also supposed to say. But I thought of three points that I would like to highlight for us. And then Larika also asked me to say something about the hospitality, so I'll share about that now. But first of all, one of the most important things for me for Sunday service is just to facilitate people to meet with Jesus and to meet the real Jesus and to create that space where they can be safe and they can come into and have an encounter with God. And because that's why we're here. We've said it so many times. Manus has said it this morning as well. We're here for the lost. That's our mission. And so I want to encourage us as well and to keep that in mind whenever we come to church, because it's not so much about us. It's more about just that verse again that said heaven. I'm just paraphrasing now, but there's more joy in heaven when one believer comes to Christ, to meet Jesus, than 99 others or 100 others that live righteously. And that just challenged me this morning so much, because I always thought my righteous living is very important to God as well. But it just gave me a bit of a shift. So we're here to facilitate people to almost come to their senses and to see the Father's heart. Secondly, it's also a very fun thing. And there's also a bit of a vibe. And the fun comes as part of the training and preparing beforehand. I was thinking now, Don's preparation for the service as well. Like that was very fun for me because last night I only started braaiing at about 11 o'clock, maybe 12 o'clock. At 12 o'clock, and then Don brought his guitar, and he's like, okay, he's just quickly going to, we're just going to go through practicing for today's worship. And we took to a boom stomp, and we put it there, the laptop on top of that. I'm busy braaiing, and Don's just worshiping. So that's just amazing way how it can really be fun, just preparing, but also serving. I hope that I don't yawn, because we only got in bed at like 2 o'clock this morning. And I've seen it, the moment you play worship songs late in the evening, people never challenge you, but the moment you start playing other things, then they'll come and tell you to be quiet. I think they're a bit afraid of speaking to church people. Okay, then the third thing, and that's talking a bit about institution, and Jesus gives a lot of guidelines, or in the Bible there's a lot of guidelines as to how institution works, and that the church should also be institutionalized, and that's a very big word, but it's basically just referring to structure, as Marnus also said this morning. And when Fred told the story a week ago, he said, or he just made the statement, he says, there's not going to be a party if no one organizes it. And then he told the story about a stereotypical guys. I know the guys in this church are very well organized and structured and plan amazing. So this is definitely not applicable to us. But guys going on a braai and getting to the place, and then everyone's ready to braai, and then someone asks, okay, where's the blitz? Okay, where's the rest? Okay, did someone forget to put the meat in the car? So there's definitely a part of church where there has to be structure, and where God blesses that structure as well. Not just everyone bunching up and saying, okay, cool, now everything must just fall in place like this. So there's definitely a part of structure, and there's a lot of that in the Bible as well. So, yes, that's the Sunday service. Did I miss anything? Okay. Then hospitality. Larika sent me a very long, one of the longest WhatsApps I've seen, and she gave me 3 points. I'm just going to summarize. Okay, and then she's typing about hospitality, and then, yes, this guy next to me, he's so big, and he's bothering me now, and then he goes on again, so I'm trying to just take it out. Action speaks louder than words, and she spoke a bit about serving and how she's only understood what you learn from serving through serving, and it's difficult to explain it to someone, but just the privilege of Sunday, if that's your heart and you've got a talent, or you just got a passion to serve people and to make some broekies, or just even to go and get some broekies, it's an amazing place to serve. It's an easy access to connect with people. She says her mom always used to say, you don't ask someone a question on an empty stomach. And I know their family is quite big into the preparation of very good food. So yeah, that's the second thing. And then the third thing, which she just made a statement, which quite spoke to me as well, preparing the ground before the teachers teach. So it's literally like a privilege that you have just to serve and to do something and actually prepares people and make them feel at ease and comfortable so that other people in other parts of the body of Christ can continue and have more input. So it's really a place where we can serve as well. So thank you to Larika for that. Thank you, Marnus.
Amen. Thanks. Yeah, I want to encourage you. It's not always about the difficult things. If you're good at giving hugs, then that's a good part of hospitality. If you're good at making people smile or telling jokes, then it might just be the thing for you. Okay, the next one, worship team. Don is going to share on that one. You need to share on worship.
Okay. I was just told about it now, so let me think a bit. But yeah, for me, it's just really cool to have a God-given gift, you know, and to use that gift for God's kingdom. And you know, it's sometimes sad to see how many people out there in the world has got amazing gifts, maybe musically or with an instrument or something, but it's not necessarily used for God's kingdom. So No, I just some time back I was thinking about it, and I thought, if you use your talent for worldly things, then the world is going to reward you. But if you use your talent for godly things, then you'll get a godly reward. So for me, it's just all about the heart, and it's an amazing time in the band. We all grow together. I mean, the sound people are also part of the band just as much as any person on here is part of the band. So yeah, I want to really encourage you guys, if you feel like you've got an interest in either sound or doing the projector or setting up slides or just joining in with a small instrument or that little cajon box we play. We've called a Roxy the Boxy or a djembe or a tambourine or whatever. If it comes from the heart, then it's true worship. And we just have amazing times together in the week, coming together, practicing the songs, having lots of fun. We also got things like School of Worship, which is a little bit of training, not only musically, but also biblically. And we all just do it together, have lots of fun, and grow together. Thanks.
Cool. Amen. So if you feel you've got the gift of worship and you've maybe not even discovered it yet, speak to Don or Jerusha. They will teach you. They will sit you down to learn. Cindy, you want to say something about sound quickly? So the sound team is very crucial for us. They make us sound cool in front of you.
Okay, hi, I'm Cindy. I've been part of Shofar Durban for about 4 years now. Thanks. Let's make it 4 years. I was first just thrown into it, say, she's your baby. I'm like, okay, this thingamajig here, we'll go into this thingamabob, and it will work. And that's how I became part of the sound team. I eventually learned that this thingamajig is called a jack-to-jack cable, and it goes into this thingamabob, which is a DI box. Sounds very complicated. I eventually went around with stickers and labels just to figure everything out. And on my keyboard. I'm making it sound funny and complicated, but it really isn't. I spent time with it, and I love it. You sit at the back there, you watch everybody else, you read everyone, you listen to the musos up top here, you tune them to how they feel it's best at the front, and you listen to the big speakers to how the audience, you guys, react best to what is coming out there. It's fantastic. As a person that does not like to be in front, watching you guys react from the back, it's awesome. If you are interested, if you've got fingers and you want to turn some knobs, want to tune people, come speak to me. We've got a position open. Well, we've got plenty of positions. We got spots open for the laptop. Please come speak to me. Pushing buttons, I'll explain, I'll train. With the sound, come speak to me. I'll send you to Stephen. We're both training, both of us. We have fun. Yeah.
Please join the one-man band.
Join the one-man band, yeah. Thank you.
Amen. Yeah, Stephen has got a lot of skill in terms of sound. He's done some gigs for Polytones and all those guys. So if you want to learn to do it like really good, he's also going to impart some skill. Taryn wants to share on children's ministry.
Yay, hi everyone. Okay, we're good. Basically when I was standing in front of that. Oh, that's such a beautiful picture. Thank you whoever did that. So Kids Church, there's so much to share, but I just thought I'll keep it simple with two seemingly opposing concepts, which is that it's a lot of fun and it's very serious. So those are the two things I was thinking about. And the serious part just comes from the fact that we take the kingdom seriously. And in Kids Church, it's a place, like if you wanted see disciples being made, and you want to see leaders, like full-on leaders of the kingdom. That's what's happening over there, just by the way. So I don't know what you guys are doing in here, but no, I'm teasing, sorry. but yeah, leadership development is happening over there. Bible school is happening over there, and probably for the facilitator just as much as the kids that are involved. So that's why, like, we take the kingdom of God seriously. That's why it's very serious. And then probably 90% of it is just a lot of fun. So if you have no experience with kids or no natural ability, I love how we all have this natural ability to hang out with kids or not, then it's the perfect place for you as well. Because I think, like, if there's anything that I've learned from kids ministry, is that you learn to not take yourself so seriously because you have a very honest audience. Well, not audience, but like that's what you feel like. And then initially, a group of people that you get to hang out with that are painfully honest, and they know their opinions, and they're going to let you know about them, and that are willing to learn and willing to teach you and willing to have a lot of fun with everything they do. Like, they arrive here and they want to have fun and they want to just like enjoy their time. So if you take yourself too seriously, you're going to be soon unseriousified. I don't know what that means, exploded. But it really is. It's a lot of fun. I have fun with the kids. There's obviously planning involved, which is amazing, but if you let the Holy Spirit lead, which is what we do in Kids Church, there's always going to be unexpected things. And also, you've got amazing personalities that you're interacting with, that so the unexpected is always going to come up. But that's one of the best things, is that it actually teaches you to have fun. So if I'm serious and I've gone into children's church like stressed and focused and serious, within like the first 10 minutes, you're over yourself and you're having fun and you're just like engaging with them. And it really is. Like, this is the last thing. So those are the two things I wanted to share. Very serious. And very fun. Well, much fun. I don't know what the English is, whatever. And then the other things is that men and women are both welcome. It's not just a women's game. And to join and help facilitate with Kids Church. Also, we're looking for whatever you have available. So if you've got an interest, or if you're curious about Kids Church and you want to like shadow for a week and see what's going on, or just help out, because you'll definitely get involved. Like, we'll definitely pull you in to get involved. Then you're so welcome to. You don't have to like commit straight off the bat. You can come see what we actually do there. There is structure, so that's cool. So we're not just like screaming our heads off for hours, and like we have structure and we have like things that we actually do. It's amazing. So if you want to just come and see how it is, you're welcome to. If you have limited time and you only want to volunteer every now and then, we're also like bring what you've got. And if you want to volunteer with someone, we like are definitely looking for assistant facilitators. That's also like a big need, because our kids' church is growing, and I feel like that, like, that's where our church is growing, so that's amazing. So start popping our children as well. We want kids too. Obviously that takes time, but whatever. But yeah, so whatever you've got, we want that. So just come, like, let me know, like, curiosity, that's what we want. If you're not sure if you're good with kids, that's what we want, because I promise you, they're good with you. You don't need to be good with them. They're amazing. So, yeah, cool. Thanks. Oh, we need volunteers. I think that was the point.
Thank you. Yes. Bye. Cool. So if you really want to grow, you need to become a child and go to children's church. That's what Taryn is saying. Now, what's really cool for me is God will often honor our faith. So if we want more children in church, then we mustn't wait till children's church grow before we start helping out there. We must do the opposite way. We must volunteer, and then God will send the children. That's often how God works. He looks at our faith first. Dunks, Encounter Series.
All right, so I'm just going to chat a little bit about Encounter Series. They used to be called Foundation Series, but we just had a little rebrand, and we just thought it would be just more appropriate to call it the Encounter Series. So I think what it's all about is, I think what I'm really excited about us as a church, but also about where I feel the church globally going, is that there seems to be definitely a move away from the ministry to the saints, to the ministry of the saints, in the sense that, like what's been chatted about, that everyone's got a gift, everyone's got a calling, and we take it seriously. And the reason why we take something like this seriously is because we recognize that. We recognize everyone is got a unique part to play in our family, in this body, in the same way that the Word of God related to the human body, and each body part has got a certain function. In the same way, our family got certain gifts, certain talents and calling, and we want to see you walk into the fullness of your calling. And that's why we take this so seriously. So the whole idea behind this is really, it comes back to discipleship. I think God's, as we know, God's called us to go make disciples. That's part of our vision statement. And not just to go out and find people to get saved. I think that's quite easy, actually. Just to go out there and get someone saved. The hard part is to get that person to be a disciple, to get that person walking in their calling, walking with God, and bringing other people alongside that person. That's a challenge, and that's called discipleship. And from my knowledge, I'd love if you feel differently, then please chat me afterwards. But I believe the Word of God calls the vehicle for that discipleship. The best vehicle for that discipleship to happen is the local church. I believe that's the pattern that the Word of God shows us, and I've yet to see anything else that's better than that. So the vehicle that we're sitting in this morning, that we're a part of, church is not here, church is a family, but the vehicle that God is using to change the world is church and is discipleship. And so Encountership Series is very simply four weekends or four events. It normally happens over a weekend. We're going to start incorporating into a small group that we run over. So Encounter 1 and Encounter 2 we have more regularly. Encounter 3 and 4 maybe once a year. What it is that we want to see people discipled. So Encounter 1 is just about some basic doctrine that we believe the Bible talks about. So it's about salvation. What is salvation? And what does it actually mean to be saved? Bible talks about being assured of our salvation. And we want people to have that assurance, to know what it is to be saved. We also, in Encounter 1, we talk about baptism. So water baptism, that's quite a controversial subject, both in Durban, which is a little bit more of an English community, but also in Afrikaans communities and everything. Baptism seems to be so controversial, but we believe the Word of God is very clear on what baptism is. And also the Holy Spirit. So we talk about tongues, we talk about being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Also, we feel that is sort of foundational doctrine that we believe the Word of God teaches. Because that's what it all really comes down to. This is not Shofar's doctrine. This is not Shofar's ideas. It's not Shofar's agenda. We want to live according to God's word, and we want to see people live according to God's word. So that's what we teach, and that's what we do in Encounter series. So that's Encounter 1. Encounter 2 is that's a lot of fun. That's a little bit more about church. So church is a family. How does this dynamic work? You know, what is church's expectation of me? What expectation should I have of Don as a brother or of someone new? How does this dynamic actually work? Because I think a lot of us come from different kind of team environments where some of us played a lot of sports. Some of us had different experiences at church. We also have very different experiences of authority figures. I think the world has got quite a distorted idea of authority and sometimes misuses that. So a lot of people come from different backgrounds and come into this place where all of a sudden we want things to work, but sometimes we need to put in a bit of work there just to get everyone to the same page. So that's Encounter 2. Encounter 3 is probably one of my favorite. That's about family, about covenant relationship. Family as in immediate family, covenant relationship, and dealing with a lot of those things from the past, which is amazing. It's an incredible weekend. I think the first time I did it a number of years ago, every time I do it is amazing. And it really, I can say that Encounter 3 changed my life. It was definitely a milestone in my life. It was definitely a watershed moment. And then Encounter 4 is just about deliverance and walking away from things that hold us back. The Bible talks about the weights that so easily, the weights and sin that so easily entangle us. And Encounter 4, you know, we know that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. So we're fighting we're living in a spiritual environment. We are spiritual beings, and it's important for us to know how to actually go about that, but also to be set free from all those things that actually hold us back. You know, sometimes we're fighting a spiritual battle, but with physical means. But we need to fight. God's given us spiritual weapons, and we can fight with those weapons. So that's Encounter 4, also very exciting, just a time of deliverance. How we do that, we just get into God's presence. There's no formula. There's no sort of set agenda, and this is what we do. We get into God's presence for a weekend, and we trust God for breakthrough. And that's essentially what we do. So that's Encounter series. It's exciting. I think that not only to actually go through it, but to go through it again, but also to actually be involved in facilitating it. And if you have a friend who you feel can really get value out of these, then what we want to do this year is not just to say, hey, you know, Counter One would be fantastic. It's happening this weekend and go. We want to actually draw those people in and say, hey man, this thing's on this weekend, whatever it is, why don't you come with me? And it's actually come, take that person with you and facilitate and help God, help us and help God to facilitate what he wants to do through you and in that person's life. So there's just as much importance as actually going through it, as actually facilitating it too. So there's lots of room for that, and it's exciting if you can get involved. So that's the idea. I hope that I've explained it nicely. Yeah.
Perfect. Awesome. Thanks. That's very good. Like Duncan says, I just want to reiterate, Encounter 1 and 2 is actually outreach tools as well. So if you know anybody out there that's struggling with salvation or with church, bring them to Encounter 1 and 2. And maybe a lot of the answers, questions will be answered. Let's go. Carlos, can you share quickly on missions? I think we'll have to, the people that are left here, I have to just try and keep it short, otherwise it's going to take too long. So keep it 2 minutes.
Hello, hello. Yeah, I don't know. Every time I find myself in front of people, I always feel like going to the toilet. I'm a bit nervous. Sorry. My tummy always like react. Yeah, but okay. I just wanted to talk about Let's Go, which is one of amazing things that we actually did last year. It was actually my first time to do it. It's all about mission. Go around and spread the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ and all that. And believe me, it's something that I really never dreamt of. Mission was the only part of the church thing that I really never wanted to do in my life, because for me, I used to think I wasn't qualified to do that. I remember one day we met with Manus when he actually called me to speak to me actually about the mission. And it's supposed to be in the Congo, actually, where I come from. So it was a little bit challenging because it's been almost, in that time, it was almost 11 years that I haven't been in Congo. So when Manus called me about going to Congo for the mission, I was a little bit upset because I was like, okay, we're going to go to the east of the DRC, and I haven't seen my family for almost 10 years, but where I'm going, I'm not going to get to see them. And when I started to pray about it, actually God reminded me on one prayer that I made a long time ago, that God, the first time that I'll go back to my hometown, I'll go to serve you. And actually, God just reminded me, actually, your prayer has been answered. You're going to Congo to serve me. And that's where I get to a point where, okay, it's fine. I'm going to do it. But actually, it's really changed a lot in my life because I just realized that it wasn't about me. It was about the people that God loves so much. And that's really, I mean, it meant a lot to me. Like I said, I really believe that to go and, that's what I was believing in, like to go and spread the gospel, you really need to be qualified. But the reason why I'm going to stand here and encourage people to do it is because we don't need to be qualified to go spread the gospel. It is actually God who equipped us with everything. He's the one who actually built us. Okay, it's an act of faith. When you're there, actually, it's just so amazing. You go to a place where you actually see people with fears and actually they're living in fear each and every day and don't know what's going to happen tomorrow because Eastern DRC is a place where there's a lot of geographical and so many things involved like volcanoes and all that. But it was so amazing, like when we're preaching and when we actually talking about God, it really brings hope in people's life, you know. It's so amazing. It's like just telling people that God is there, you know. God got everything in his hands. And, you know, it was actually building faith. Like, you know, sometimes you go to a church, but you really realize that when God sends you somewhere, it's quite amazing. Because when God has something that he wants you to go and specifically speak to people, it really builds people. You really see people changing and start to grow hope again that there is a God and he can change things. So I'm really going to encourage people to do it because if you really sitting around, you think that you can never do it because you know the word or something, it's just the devil's lies. Because the amazing part of it was when I stood before people and trying to share what God put in my heart, more you're talking to people about God, you actually sometimes even teach about the things that you don't do yourself. And it's like, you feel a bit guilty, but God is so loving that he always reminds you that it is by grace that you are saved. You know, and when you're preaching people at the same time, you don't even actually preaching, you're not even teaching, you're actually like learning yourself as well. So it's really... It was really something very amazing. It's really changing lives, you know. And that's actually one of the greatest commission anyways, to go around and make everyone, you know, to become disciple and to come and serve God. So it's very amazing. It's something that I cannot really relate on it saying that, okay, this is what I learned because it was a lot. It was just life-changing. Not only to people that were actually sharing the gospel, but it meant a lot to us as well as a group when we went around, like, as people. He actually has to teach us about unity, about love, you know, for, like, one another as a church itself. You know, also, I've also learned about something, how powerful the prayer is, because at a certain moment we were praying, asking God for unity so that we can actually walk as, you know, one and do the very same thing in peace and love. Something very amazing happened to me was I could actually hear people in church praying for us. So those type of moments, to have that experience, you only have to be deep in serving God. Like our brother shared before, that there's certain things you don't learn about it if you don't engage yourself. So really, I will encourage you to join the mission team, you know. Every time that God time is ready for us to go again, come. Because it's not only you telling people, you're going to learn a lot. It's actually put you in a place where you become more humble. Because you realize that I'm standing here sharing the gospel, but myself, actually, it's only the grace of God that I'm standing before and sharing that. So God is so loving. I would actually encourage us to join us.
Amen. Awesomeness. Yes, so we've currently got dates from 27th April to 2nd of May. We'll give you more details later. Let's go. It's only 2 days of leave for those who work. So it's a lot of public holidays in that time. Intercession, Michelle. You'll have to keep it very short. I'm going to time people now.
Tuesdays are my favorite day, really, because it's intercession day. And I was thinking, why is it such a favorite thing? And God gave me this image of you going to the house and you have this thing in your heart and you want to go just find out if you're going home with your father. You're going to go sit and you're just going to talk to him about whatever questions there is, or where do you want to go, or what do you want to study, or what direction we are going in. And I realized that is exactly what intercession is. We have the privilege to, on a Tuesday night at Aaron Road at 6:15, I'm just saying, go and ask the Almighty, All-Knowing Father his guidance. That is it. We get to hear from him. We pray, and we pray for direction, or where we have, in whatever ministries we are doing here, whether it's kids or Let's Go, in all those, we dedicate it to him. And in that space amongst believers, like they say in Matthew 18, where three or two or more is gathered in my name, I'm there. In that exact space, we have the privilege to sit. And I hear him, and we get to hear his heart for our ministries and where he's going to go and for the community and who he's going to bring into our community. And that is just the most amazing privilege, and actually the place where all our hearts align. And a little bit of the practical thing I've heard once, at intercession you learn to pray. I actually think you learn to listen. So if you ever wanted to know what God sounds like, and that a moment where everybody is in agreement, and you get it, whether it's word, whether it's image, or whether it's that conviction in your heart, and somebody else says it, you go, I recognize this. I'm actually hearing right. And that is something that we all need to strive for the year to come, is we need to be walking in the Spirit and getting to know his voice inside us. And that is intercession. We get to know his voice.
Good one. The next two, I'm going to skip. I'm just going to ask Truan and Megan to stand up, because they were supposed to share on men's camp and awaken, but we're running out of time. So men's camp and awaken is something we do over a weekend or events. We do for men or for women specifically. So please speak to them afterwards. So we want all the men to go to the men's camp and all the women to go to the women's event, awaken. So please speak to them. They prepared something to say, but if I allow them to say it, we're not going to get done. So those are events that I believe all of you will enjoy. We did it last year, and they've got good testimonies, so speak to them. We've also got a family camp once a year. At the moment, it's 15th to 18th of July. So if you want to be involved in either of those three, Awaken, Men's Camp, or Family Camp, please speak to me, speak to Megan, speak to Struan. This is times where we just as a family get out of town. We just share time together, trust God to speak to us, have a good time together. And it's all of those outreach facilities as well, and we pray. So all of those are also events where you can invite somebody along that doesn't have family, want to get to know things. Okay, so the dates for Awaken at the moment is 22nd of May. For Family Camp is 15th to 18th of July. And for Men's Camp is 8th to 10th of April. So remember to put those things in your calendar. And then I quickly want Pilani to share on marriage prep. Where's Pilani? Is he here? I want quickly. That's the last one.
Yes, last time. 2 minutes. Hello, everyone. I'm excited even to see new faces. Welcome, visitors. When I'm thinking of a marriage, I think of a house. You know, if you're looking forward to get married, that's more like going forward to build a house. And the house builders will tell you, if you're going to build a house, a foundation is very important. You know, if you want your house to last, you know, for a long time, so a foundation is very important. So marriage prep, it's all about that, using God as a foundation. in your marriage. There's a high rate of divorce because of that. We don't include God in our marriages, you know. And this is God's thing, and you can't go through marriage without involving God, you know. So that's it. That's all about that, you know. But you can't do it on your own. So marriage prep is there just to tell, like, to teach you how to do it, how to involve God, what you have to do and what not, you know. So I encourage you guys, you know, it's very important, even if you don't have cows at the moment, but, you know, but just go, you know, just look at myself. I didn't have cows, I don't have cows, even a straw. Okay, I don't know what's a straw in English, you know, but yeah, so, but I did. And God, if you try to do like the God's will, God come and help you, you know. That's what happened even to me, you know. I'm in the process of paying Lobola, you know, but I didn't have cows, but God provided, you know. So it's amazing, you know, guys. It's a process, you know, and cows are expensive. The farmers will tell you. Thank you very much, guys.
Thanks, Pilani. Excited to see you guys getting married soon. So the first one is 31st of January, and we're doing it over 4 weekends or 4 Sundays. And then the last one I asked Derek, but I'm also going to skip him, Bible school. So if you want to know more about Bible school, speak to Derek. But basically what we're going to do this year is we're going to do it in correspondence groups. So if you want to do groups, we're going to gather you into little small groups, and you're going to go and do it together where it works. So we got Bible school 1, 2, and 3. Bible school 3, I'm going to do myself. And if you want to do Bible school 3, it's more about church planting. Practical ministry. You can speak to me. And also in the newsletter, there's a sign-up section where you can sign up for Bible School 3. I'm also going to send out a newsletter in the next week or so where all of these things will be on there. You can sign up for those things. Just quickly, practically, I just want to show you a few tools that we use in church to make things easy and practical. We've got a Google Calendar. Looks like that. All of you can sign up to it, and you can see what's going on. So all these events, all these things that I've been speaking about, small groups, church services, encounters, all of those I normally put on the calendar. And we also put birthdays on there. So if your birthday is not on there, let me know. Put it on there so everybody can see when is whom's birthday. So Google Calendar, you just sign up to it, so you can go onto it and check when church events are. Plan your year, put it next to your calendar, and you can do it. So sign up on our Facebook page or on our newsletter, and check out the dates beforehand. We also have a monthly announcements which we send out, so it should be coming to most of you. If it's not coming to you, just let me know and I can sign you up. And you can also, I think, sign up on our website. So in there, we just tell you what's important for the month. Thomas is going to be working on that a bit. He's going to do a bit of media ministry. So we're going to tell you everything that's going on there. He's possibly going to make a little video as well, so you can get on that. Then we've got a Facebook page. Check that out. On there, there's links to where we are, what's happening soon, what is the sermon series we're preaching on. So check out our Facebook page, Shofar Durban. Like it. Get your friends to like it. Send it on to your friends. And normally, if we do a sermon series or a sermon on a Sunday, we would advertise it on there. So if you see something that somebody would be interested in, check that out. And then the webpage, go check out. We've got the Shofar website, www.shofaronline.org. And on there, you'll see a lot of things of Shofar, Shofar Shop, what Shofar is doing globally, who Shofar is. So those things are tools you can use. And on that webpage, we've even got our Sunday sermon. So on a Monday, what we're doing, on a Sunday, we download onto the webpage. So if you've got a friend that wants to know, or maybe you heard a sermon that's applicable to a friend, it should be on there on a Monday. Forward it to a friend and say, listen to that. It's a good tool to reach people outside of church that are not here on a Sunday. And we're hoping that we can use that. We use it on a Wednesday as well, because our small groups is based on our Sunday sermon. We normally ask questions just around this, what happened on Sunday. So it's a very easy place. If somebody is afraid to come to a small group, they say, what's happening at small group? You can just say to them, go, you can go listen to the sermon, and we won't ask you any funny questions. We'll only ask questions about the sermon. So people will be better prepared. So they can come, not be afraid. They will be asked some high spiritual question. They only have to say what they thought about the scriptures that we read in sermon. So it makes it a bit easier for people on Wednesday small groups. And from experience, we normally only remember things that we hear more than once. So it's also good for us to sometimes just go and re-listen to the sermon. And that's why we redo it on a Wednesday, is if we listen to something twice, if we meditate on something, that's when we remember it. So the sound team makes sure that we get this right. Okay, so then I want to finish off. We're keeping good with the time. Sorry, we were doing a bit longer today, keeping you here long, but I think it's important that we all just know what's happening in church.